Welcome. Glad you came back, so many of you, and some of you come for the first time. We're glad you're here. Thank you for coming. As David said, we're talking about the profile of a truth seeker. Who is the person who is looking for truth? And we're using this picture from outer space or from orbit around the Earth, from Hubble, as a metaphor to represent light in the world or truth in the world. It's in a lot of different places, but it's not everywhere. And of course, one of our goals as we talk about a truth seeker is to convince or to encourage us to be truth seekers ourselves and to be looking for other truth seekers, others who are looking for the light that Jesus has brought into the world. Here's where we are. And we pray that God will bless your work here as you look for other truth seekers in this community. Let's begin with this text that we've used almost every night. Therefore Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world." And then he identifies what kind of a king: to testify to the truth. He's the king of the truth. He came into the world, he pierced space and time to bring to us the truth about God. Now that is to say that there was a truth in the world prior to the coming of Jesus. Certainly God had spoken through the prophets. He had even appeared directly to through various ways to the fathers. And he had revealed truth. But the final and complete and full truth would be the work of his Son. He not only endorsed the Old Testament by quoting it and saying it was from God, but he provided for the giving and the revelation of the New Testament. He is the reason that we believe that there's something called truth. He's the king of the truth. And then look what he says next. Everyone who is of the truth. Are you of the truth? Am I of the truth? That's what we're talking about when we talk about a truth seeker. They're of the truth. They care about truth. They want the truth. They're looking for the truth. They're of the truth. What do these do? They hear, all those who are of the truth, hear my voice. They recognize that I am the king of the truth. You see, it's a cumulative evidence. All the weight of the evidence points that Jesus is exactly the person he said he was. And you have to look at all the evidence. I've looked at it, and I know that many of you have as well. And I'm convinced that he is the Christ, the Son of God, proven to be so by the resurrection from the dead. Therefore, he's the king of the truth. Pilate said to him, "I think derisively, what is truth?" And he so aptly sums up our skeptical, postmodern world that we're living in America, where so many people doubt that there is such a thing as truth. And so we ask, what is truth? The dictionary says truth is reality, actuality. I want to lay this thought into your mind, and we'll develop it a little bit more as we go through. Folks, if you miss Jesus, you miss reality. You miss actuality. You say, I'm looking at reality here, this building, these people that are in it, these pews, and my car. All that's going to be gone. That's not permanent. In that sense, it's an illusion. If you think that this is something you can depend upon, that you can build your life upon, He could be blown away in a second by a tornado or just corrode over time. Build your something on reality. That which will last for all eternity. Truth is reality, actuality. And further, it is the supreme reality. The truth behind all other reality. The ultimate meaning and value of existence. I'm going to lay this thought on you. If you don't know Jesus, you miss what existence is all about. You don't understand what it means to be a full human being born into God's world, appreciating all that God has done. You'll miss that because you will have missed the truth. And when you miss the truth, you spend all of your life never feeling quite like you fit anywhere. See, because the truth is the truth, whether you accept it or not, whether I do or not, it doesn't change. Whether I believe it or don't believe it, doesn't change it one bit. So we really have two options. Either we bend the truth to our desires, or we change our desires to accord with the truth. Because the truth is there, whether we admit it or accept it or not. And so we ask, or remind ourselves, that Jesus said, what is truth? Well, your word, God, is truth. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And other similar statements that convey the same central message. It is written, he said, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now look at the converse of that. What if you don't feed on the bread of life? What if you don't believe that? You don't live. You don't really live. Oh, you exist. You're still in this world. But you miss the very purpose and the very reason that God caused us to be here. If you deny that His bread, that He gives alone, therefore the Word of God, if we don't feed on it, the truth, then we will not live in the sense that God wants us to live. Further, then Jesus again spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Well, what if we don't follow him? You're going to be in darkness all of your life. Some will never know it. Some will never figure out why their life never does measure up to what it could be. Because they're in darkness. They have denied the truth that will come into their heart. And sustain them and feed them and show them the way to make the most of their life. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And folks, if your goal is not to go to the Father, you've missed it all. You've missed it. You're still in the darkness, and Jesus is the way to go to the Father. So buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. Who finds the truth? And when we ask that, I want each of us to ask ourselves, have we found the truth? And if so, how do you know? How do you know it's the truth? Who finds the truth? Well, we're profiling the people who find the truth. They are truth seekers. We've looked at the fact that truth seeker joyfully conforms to the boundaries of truth. And tonight, I'm going to give you credit for remembering everything we've said about this. I'm just going to go on. Aren't you glad, those of you who've been here the whole week? As I heard J.P. Miller say about John Clark, who was preaching in a series of lessons where he was going over what he'd gone over. He said, John, if you don't mind, tonight, give us credit for a good memory. So I'm going to give you credit for a good memory. Joyfully conforms to the boundaries of truth. Then also, it's someone who humbly seeks the audit of others, even critics. Oftentimes our critics are the ones who can point out fallacies in what we believe. And thirdly, a truth seeker courageously puts truth over personal advantage or comfort. When it comes down to giving up my personal comfort or advantage or my good relationships and my family and truth, truth seekers choose truth. That's what we choose. That's what we'll stay with. And fourthly, truth seeker confidently holds to a holy and sincere conscience. Truth is the only thing that can give us confidence. True confidence that can be checked out, proven again and again and again. Otherwise, we're just going to go through life never really having the confidence in our salvation that God would have us to have. And then tonight, hopefully endures to the end. Now, when I originally developed this series of lessons, I didn't have number 5. I didn't see it. And I preached this lesson, this series of lessons in Huntsville, Alabama, and my friends come and said, you're at least one shy. I said, what is it? He said, well, you've got to do something with patience. And I said, you're right. So I went home and I worked out this wording and finally settled on this. You see what we're saying? Folks, truth seeking is not easy. And you don't get it all worked out in a day, a week, a year. This is a journey for a lifetime. This is what we become. It isn't that we just, you know, go through a little study course and then we got the truth. This is a lifetime journey. And I hope to point that out to you. Hopefully endures to the end. Endures in what? Truth seeking. Constantly going over some of the things you think you believe, then finding out other things by your examination of the Word of God, and even more, living the truth. I know you know that it's one thing to study the Bible and see the things that you see. And then another thing when you put it into practice, and you'll see a depth of understanding that you didn't see before. Am I not right about that? I believe with all my heart that's the way it's worked in my life. Circumstances. Well, see, you know, that's what Paul was talking about. I didn't see that before. Now I understand why Jesus was so insistent about that. Because of this situation I'm in. So it's a lifelong journey. So let's begin the last leg of it. Well, don't you be glad it's the end of the meeting, because I've got 2 more lessons I'm planning to add to this. It'll make 7. But that'll have to wait till another time. So let's take our last lesson. A truth seeker hopefully endures to the end. And we're going to make 3 points. This will give you a little hope. Because, you know, when you're through point 2, you only got 1 more to go. All right, we're going to work on hopefully, and then endures, and that you're right, the end. What do we mean by these words? That a truth seeker hopefully endures to the end. Well, let's take our first one. And hopefully, I want to talk to you about biblical hope. It is composed of at least 3 things. First, it's about the future. Secondly, it's about what you desire, what you want, something pleasant, good. Then thirdly, it's about what you expect. Now, I know that we'll have almost immediate agreement on future, the first two points, but just hold on till we get to that third. That one may surprise a few of you, if I don't miss my guess. All right, let's work on the fact that hope relates to things of the future. Paul would write in the Roman letter, 8:24, "For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees?" Well, you don't. You hope for what you don't have yet. It's of the future. Hope relates to the future. Truth seekers are hopeful people because they're always looking ahead, forgetting what lies behind, pressing on to what is ahead of us. They're hopeful people. And I want you to hold on to that idea, because that's what I'm going to close on. It's the idea that Christians, truth seekers, are hopeful people, looking to the future for something, the next point, that they desire, that they want. They're not dreading the future. They're not saying, "Oh man, I wish, boy, I'm glad the Lord didn't come today." Well, something's wrong in your life. I'll come back to that in just a moment. They desire. Hope relates to something that you want. Look at the passage again. "For if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it." But you wait eagerly for something that you want. He didn't say we wait dreadingly for it. No, eagerly for it. So hope is about the future, and it is about things that we want or that we desire. But further, now this is the one that sometimes people forget. Hope is about what you expect. In other words, what you have confidence about that's going to be in the future. Oftentimes when Christians are asked, "Are you going to heaven?" Let me ask you that question tonight. Would you answer to yourself right now, if Jesus were to come right now, would you go to heaven? You say, "Well, I sure hope so." Well, what do you mean by that? Just wishful thinking? Do you really expect to go to heaven? Do you have confidence that if the Lord were to come? We don't know when he's going to come. Are we to live our lives expectingly, longingly for his return, confidently as to what will be the verdict? Or are we just to live in fear? Just, "Oh man, I hope he doesn't come today. You know, I'm still not perfect." You know, what is it? How are we to live our lives? I'm telling you tonight, brother, the truth seekers live their lives hopefully. That means not only does it relate to the future, not only is it something that they want or desire, it's something they expect. They have confidence about it. Why? Because they're a truth seeker. They're of the truth. They follow Jesus' voice. They're following the Lord. So let's look at passages that teach that. Same one, Romans 8:25, just a different phrase. "But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait." Folks, you don't wait with perseverance if you don't expect. If you just give up. You say, "Well, it isn't going to come. I guess it's just wasteful thinking." Perseverance involves waiting with expectation. But this is even another passage that we get the idea. This time, Romans 5:1-5. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace, in which we stand and we exult," that's key, "in hope of the glory of God." Don't you see expectation right there in that phrase? We exult. We're anticipating it. We have confidence that it'll be ours. Heaven will be our home. And then another, even more. And not only this, but also we exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope. There's our word. And hope does not disappoint. Well, if you know it doesn't disappoint, you're going to have confidence about it. Because you're expecting to go to heaven. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Well, point number two. Oh, we're moving fast now. Endures. Truth seekers hopefully endure. And there are two ideas within endure I want you to get tonight. First, the idea is continues or last. It goes on and on and on and on. It continues. And secondly, the idea that it bears up under hardship. To remain under. To be strong, firm, to persevere beneath a heavy load. All right, let's take the first idea. Hopeful people last. They continue. They don't quit. Who gives up? People don't have any hope. Why? Because they don't have any expectation that there's going to be anything good. They give up. They quit. Quit being what? Truth seekers. They're no longer willing to put truth over their personal advantage or comfort. They're no longer willing to joyfully stay within the boundaries of truth. Why? They've lost their confidence. When you lost your confidence and your expectation of going to heaven, you quit. You quit hoping. So hopeful people last. When they do, they're indicating they're of God. Look at this. But the Lord abides, that's our word, forever. He has established his throne for judgment. Lasting, continuing, is a part of the character of God. And everything that comes out of God lasts. It's not temporary. It's forever. It's eternal. Like truth. Truth is forever. Further, do not work, Jesus said, for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father God has set his seal. Now this is one of those Hebraisms in the New Testament in which it's a not but Hebraism. In other words, do not work for the food which perishes. There it is, we got to all give up our jobs and quit work. No, you have to go to the next phrase to get the comparison. But for the food which endures to eternal life. What is he saying? Don't just work for food which perishes. It's foolish. It's going to perish. But make certain that in addition to your job, you make certain you're working for the Lord for the food which endures to eternal life. It lasts. And truth seekers do that. Truth seekers figure out that there's more to life than just going to work, making a nice paycheck so we can live comfortably. They figure out that really doesn't satisfy us unless we're very shallow people. And after all, it isn't going to last very long. So seek truth. Seek for the food. Go after the food which endures to eternal life. Well, what is that? It's the truth. That's what it is. And then, endures means we bear up under hardship. True seekers have not only the courage to choose sacrifice and even sorrow and persecution rather than give up truth, but also they have got staying power. They'll bear up under hardship. Hardship that's caused by them being a true seeker, or just generally the hardship that's in the world. Either one, they've got staying power to bear up under. Let's look at these. Paul to Timothy. Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. What enabled Paul to endure such treatment? He knew he had the truth and was teaching the truth. He was in reality. He was living in the real world. He was living in the world that would always last, the spiritual world, the spiritual realm. He had chosen to live a life of truth seeking and truth speaking and truth proclaiming. Peter, for this finds favor if for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. How can a person deal with suffering that's unjust? I mean, it's hard enough to deal with suffering that you get because of your own stupidity. But what about the suffering that's put upon you unjustly? How do you bear up under that? True seeker can, because he can see further down the road. He can see that God can use it. He could see, because he sees it in God's word, how God has always used suffering, if that is to purify his people, to make them stronger. And so you're not losing. You're not just wasting suffering. Let me tell you this about suffering. And I'll stop and not give you my whole lesson on suffering. But folks, we're all going to suffer sometime or other, every one of us. And younger people, if you don't think some of us older heads have suffered, just ask us. No, not like the Apostle Paul. I haven't lived a horrible life of persecution. No. But there's been suffering, and a lot of my suffering has been suffering as I helped others deal with theirs. But here's the point I want to make. Since we're all going to suffer, why don't we just use it for good? Let's turn that which may have come to us by the work of the devil, let's turn it to good, to helping people, becoming wiser, sharing this to encourage one another, turning it for good. Is that the message of Jesus? Absolutely. How do I know that? The cross. Isn't that the message of the cross? Was it unjust? Absolutely. The worst thing that Satan has ever done to man was the cross. And it's the best thing that ever happened to us. How'd that happen? How did God take such unjust, despicable things, horrible things, and turn it into the best thing that ever happened to us? Because of the power of truth and of God. So let's do the same. Hebrew writer, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. How does that faith get perfected? Well, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. That's how he got perfected. He became perfected so he could perfect us. He learned obedience through the things which he suffered, that he might be the originator or the author of salvation for us. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Victory. You know, on the day that Jesus died, that cross didn't look like victory, did it? It didn't look like victory to anybody but God. And of course, it looked like victory to the Jews for a different reason. They had won, they thought. But God showed that it was victory over sin and over Satan and all that is evil, because he endured the cross. James 1, verse 12. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. But it will only come by those true seekers who hopefully endure. Hold on to their desire and expectation through persecution and suffering, either physical, spiritual, mental, whatever, or both. By faith, Moses, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, how? As seeing him who is unseen. Well, how do you do that? By faith. By faith in the Word of God. And then, our last one in this section. Jesus said, "You will be hated by all because of my name," to his disciples. "But it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved." But also, we need to look at our last point. And yes, I'm on my last point, but this one will take a little while. So everybody settle in. Let's get the point. How do we use the word end? A true seeker hopefully endures to the end. Well, I want to explain it two ways. First of all, I'm using it to indicate completeness or fullness of our Christian walk. That is God's goal, our end, for every one of us. And it ought to be ours. That we completely mature and reach the end of our perfection in this life. And I don't mean when I use the word perfection. Perfection, often in the English translation, is just a way to translate this word that can be translated maturity or completeness. Then it also means the reward. The final reward. Let's look at the first. Completeness. "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials," James says. Why? "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect," that means complete or full, "perfect result, so that you may be perfect." He doesn't mean sinless perfect. We blew that years ago. It means full or complete. "That you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." True seekers hopefully endure to completion, to completeness, where they are lacking in nothing. How do we get there? Through endurance. Going to the end, not giving up. And in order not to give up, we've got to hold on to our hope, which, remember, is not only what we desire, but what we expect. We expect God to complete us. He's still working on us. I love that hymn, "In His Time." I don't think it's in this book. "In His Time." God makes all things perfect in His time. Lord, please help me every day. And I can't recall it, all the lyrics right now, but it's "in His time." God's still working on us. Keep our hope in His work. Further, Luke reminds us, but here's Jesus speaking about the fruit being fruitful, the good seed that was fruitful, but the seed of the good saw, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Who bears fruit? Those who endure with hope, who persevere with hope. And then this statement by Paul. And he, the Lord Christ, gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. Now, what can you say? All of those roles are functions in the body of Christ, all share in common. They all relate to the truth. Revealing it, proclaiming it, encouraging it, teaching it, modeling it. Pastors, out in front, showing the sheep what this is all about as a truth seeker. All of them relate to the truth. Okay, now let's see what their purpose is. For the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith, it may take a little while. We got work to do. Till we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to what degree? To a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. That's a lofty standard. Who reaches that standard? Hopeful people who endure, who keep on. Doing what? Seeking truth, living truth, loving truth. They never stop. Then the end also means the reward. Who gets the reward? The runner who finishes the course. The one who doesn't stop. And in order to do that, you've got to run with hope. With not only the desire, but with the expectation that one day you're going to be rewarded with the crown of life. But having the same spirit of faith, Paul writes to the Corinthians, according to what is written. Now I want you to remember this phrase, because we're going to go back in the Old Testament just a moment and see where it came from. Let me read it again. But having the same spirit of faith, trust, according to what is written. Then he quotes from the Old Testament, Psalm 116. I believed, therefore I spoke. Don't ever speak what you don't believe. Now you could be wrong, and I could be wrong. But folks, you're playing with fire if you become a hypocrite. You start telling folks things that you don't believe. Just because you want their approval. Just because you don't want to be persecuted. Just because it's easier. I believed, that's first, therefore I spoke. That's the quote. We also believe, Paul says, we followed that example. We also believe, therefore we also speak. He's telling them, I didn't speak anything to you that I didn't believe with all my heart was the truth. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. Well, that's what he believed, and that's what he had told them. That's what's going to happen. Do you believe it? He goes further. Verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. We hold on to our hope. We don't lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, if there's anything that might destroy our hope, is watching this body disintegrate. Young people, you're in for a real good journey. I'm already a good ways there in the disintegration of the body. I see it graphically every summer when I'm around those young people who are doing things that I remember I used to do, which I had now choose not to do because, I say that almost euphemistically, I choose not to do because, one, I really can't do them anymore, and two, if I could, I don't want to have to pay for it for the next month in pain and anguish. Now, how did I get in such shape? Well, you say, well, John, if you'd exercise more, it's kept your body strong. You could, well, no, folks. I'll never jump as high, run as fast, go as long as I once did. Well, is that going to cause us to lose heart? When we get sick and our bodies are sickly? Not Paul. That though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. I wouldn't try to be one day younger. I'm happy with the age I am. Still alive, still kicking. I have a greater hope of heaven now than I've ever had in my life. A greater expectation and a greater desire. For momentary light affliction. What in the world was that? Remember what we read to you two nights ago? Being shipwrecked, beaten, stoned, hungry, in danger from all kinds of things. He was a hunted man. The moment he said, I had become a Christian. As soon as he said yes to Jesus, the Jews hunted him down. And history records, or at least tradition holds, that they finally got him. Killed him. He was a traitor to their cause. But he said, momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Now, he wasn't minimizing all this suffering and hardship he'd gone through, but he says, when you compare it to what I'm going to gain from it, it's momentary light affliction. That's how you endure. Because you see, it's producing an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, that's the only way you're going to see it. It won't be looking at the mirror to this saggy body, and you know, and where your hair falls out and your teeth fall out, etc., etc. Just go read that statement in the last chapter of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. Can't sleep anymore, you rise at the chirping of a bird, you know. Got to get up two or three times in the night. But it's nothing compared to what's being produced in our spirit. Well, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. That means seen with the physical eyes. For the things which are seen are temporal, illusory. They're only temporary. We think they're so permanent. They're not. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Those are the things that are of the truth. That's the reality. Do you see the real you? When you look into God's word as a mirror, as James would say, do you see the real you? A person who is a truth seeker, who loves the Lord, who has faith in Him, who has hope of heaven. I hope, pray to God, that you do. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, that's this physical body, we have a building from God, a house, a new body, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house, this physical body, we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. I don't care how good it gets on earth, it will never be enough. Is it? Are you completely, absolutely, completely, fully, in every way satisfied with your life? Are there moments, maybe even the stillness of the night? He said, you know, I thought this was going to be really something, and this turned out to be just like all the other experiences of life. They're good for a while, and then nothing lasts. But there are going to be some spiritual experiences that you're going to hold on to for eternity. Why? They're eternal. They're of the truth. That's where we need to put our living, in those kinds of things. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, while we're in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed. I take it. He said, we don't want to die. We don't want to be a disembodied, just a spirit floating around there. We want to be a person, an eternal person, a person who never dies. And that's exactly what Jesus came to show us was in our future. So that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. For of Christ, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Is that good news or bad news to you? Answer it. Is that good news or bad news that we're all going to give an account for the deeds done in the body? You say, well, it's kind of sobering here. Kind of hope it goes my way. I'd probably be standing there kind of wringing my hands just waiting for the verdict. You really believe that? Is that the picture of God and His people in the Bible? That He just lets them stand in the anteroom just waiting, just praying, oh man, I hope He lets me in. This day, Jesus said, you'll be with me in paradise. Stephen said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Paul said, I don't know which to choose. Stay here, just go on and die, because I get to be with the Lord. Do you see the point? Is this fearful to you? Not to a truth seeker. You know why? Because as we saw last night, our confidence is based upon the grace of God, and He has forgiven our sins. There are not going to be any bad deeds to be brought up to a person who belongs to the Lord. It'll be wiped away. We're going to get to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come on in. We knew you were coming. We've been watching it the whole way, and your reservation is absolutely secure. That's what hope is based on. Truth. For those who are of the truth. Therefore, don't you love a therefore in a lesson? Unless it's one of Paul's therefores, where he goes on for another another 6 chapters. I'm not going to go that long, but I got to go a little bit further. Therefore, let's go back and look at this psalm, and I'm just going to read it for you. Remember that? This is the one that Paul quoted when he said, I believe, therefore I spoke. Look what it's about. I love the Lord. I want you to ask, could you write this psalm? Could you write it? Put yourself as the one who has written this psalm. See if you could write it. I love the Lord because He hears my voice and my supplications. Because He has inclined His ear to me, therefore I shall call upon Him as long as I live. The cords of death encompassed me, and the terrors of Sheol came upon me. That's the grave. There's always a measure of fear about dying, because we don't know what it's going to be like. So it was with the psalmist. He said, I found distress and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech you, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and He saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you, for you have rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed when I said, that's what he quoted, I believed when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? I shall lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all of His people, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His godly ones. Precious is the death to godly ones, true seekers, who are of the truth. O Lord, surely I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your handmaid. You have loosed my bonds. To you I shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. It just means we'll do what we say. Oh, may it be in the presence of all of His people. I want everybody to know that I revere you, and therefore I do what I promise. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Truth produces joy. Truth produces humility. Truth produces courage. Truth produces confidence. Truth produces hope. But brethren, He isn't just talking about the truth. It's living the truth. It isn't about preaching the truth. Really, this whole series of lessons all this week isn't worth much. In fact, it isn't worth anything if we don't live it. Living the truth. This is from a paraphrase translation of 1 John 1, 5 through 9, or 7. This, in essence, is the message we heard from Christ and are passing on to you. God is light. Remember, using that for truth? Pure light. There's not a trace of darkness in Him. If we claim that we experience a shared life with Him and continue to stumble around in the dark, we're obviously lying through our teeth. We're not living what we claim. But if we walk in the light, God Himself being the light, we also experience a shared life with one another as the sacrificed blood of Jesus, God's Son, purges all of our sin. We want to walk in truth, live truth, being truthful, persevering, searching, examining, being humble, being joyful, being confident, being courageous, living it. Kierkegaard said, "The truth consists not of knowing the truth, but in being the truth, living it." He also said, "You cannot have the truth in such a way that you catch it, but only in such a way that it catches you." I take him to mean that it becomes a part of our life. It isn't something we catch and bottle up somewhere and put up on the shelf. Yeah, we got our Bibles there. We're of the truth. We're Church of Christ. It becomes a part of our being. It's the way we think and therefore the way we act. Dennis writes, "Knowing always entails more than knowing will ever know. So the deepest knowing comes only in doing. The task of living the truth requires that we stake on it our very existence." And Augustine wrote, speaking to God, praying to God, "You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." My friends, if we don't seek truth, we will never be at rest. Because it's still there. We could choose to live in illusion, but the truth is still there. We can decide to deny it, to criticize it, to reject it, but it's still there. It's the reality. And it calls to us in so many ways. Remember what Saul of Tarsus said? It's the voice to Saul of Tarsus, "Saul, Saul, it's hard to kick against the goads, isn't it?" And it was. It's wonderful to live in reality, in the truth. "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Really free. Free for all of your life to live in truth. In Indonesia, if you ask a married person, "Are you married?" they will say, "Yes." But if you ask a single person, "Are you married?" they say, "Belum." You know what "belum" means in Indonesian language? Not yet. Not yet. What does "not yet" mean in that context? I'm hoping I will be. I expect to be. Yeah, I desire to be. Not yet. True seekers are not yet people. Hopeful people are not yet people. Have you seen the Grand Canyon? Not yet. But I plan to. Have you been to Hawaii? Not yet. But I plan to. Do you have children or grandchildren? Not yet. But I plan to, in God's providence and care. Are you as close to Jesus as you want to be? Not yet. Have you learned all the truth that you want to know? Not yet. Is that person that you've been studying with and praying about a family member, have they become a Christian? Not yet. Is God through with you, perfecting you? Not yet. Have you endured to the end? Not yet. But soon. Are you ready to become a not yet person? That means a hopeful person who endures to the end. Because you're seeking truth. If you are, we're going to sing a song to encourage you to come and be a part of the not yet family who always look toward the future with hope, expectation of greater things to come. Please come, let's stand and sing.
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus say, come unto me, I am the
pursue my passion to do what I love to do. And we worked hard all week. I'm sorry that I had a raspy voice, but I came with one. It wasn't your fault. I've had it for about 2 weeks. It's the second meeting. I'm rasping through. And I'm glad to put up with you in such a gracious manner. So I've been delighted to be among you, to be in your homes, to share meals with you. You luxuriate in your encouragement and your kind words. I pray God will help you to always be a true seeker. I hope that we've done some good. That's what I came to do. I'll be leaving in the morning, but I'll be with friends in Oklahoma for the weekend that I don't get to see very often. All the members of our church many years ago, and I look forward to being with them for just a few days and then it's back to work. And I look forward to that. It is a busy year for me. I always solicit your prayers for endurance and patience, for wisdom. I'm dealing with a lot of young people again this summer, and I will always want to deal with them just the right way, in truth and in love. So thank you so much for allowing me to spend this time among you. And we say to all of you, Godspeed, may God bless you, and above all, come to see the reality of believers in the Spirit. And then the work of Eric here, we encourage you to continue to preach the word. The instant in season and out of season, including with all long suffering, knowing that the God of life will raise each and every one of us. May God bless you. I look forward to seeing you.
John, I think I can speak for the whole group here. We appreciate so very much the work you have done this week in helping to increase our awareness of the importance of the truth and the importance of being truth seekers. We wish you the very best going home the next few days. Just a few moments, Les Mason from the El Rey Church is going to lead us in our closing prayer. One final reminder is that tomorrow night we make the transition to daylight savings time statement. So I think that means you move the clocks forward, correct?
Right.
So keep that in mind. Are there any other announcements before we dismiss this evening? Look forward to seeing everyone Sunday morning. Bye.
Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the privilege we have to study thy word this evening. Pray that everything said and sat was according to thy will. Each one of us will live a better life from the end of the day to come, have a day to pass. Never enjoy the study in thy word. Be with each one of us as we go home. Watch over, protect us, and keep us safe. Find what we can, have that promised home in heaven.